delivered me from them all. Still can't believe all the ways you made. Oh Lord, an incredible God, Caesar, an incredible. Oh.
Incredible.
Say you're incredible.
incredible.
You're incredible.
You're incredible.
You're incredible.
You're incredible.
You're incredible.
You're incredible.
Say you're incredible.
You're incredible.
You're incredible.
You're incredible.
You're incredible.
You're incredible.
Say you're incredible.
You're incredible.
You're incredible.
You're incredible.
You're incredible.
You're incredible.
The greatest of the greatest and incredible.
Incredible God, Jesus. Incredible praise.
Come on, can we give an incredible praise? Can we give an incredible clap offering? Can we give an incredible praise to this great God that deserves it? Can we give an incredible praise this morning? Hallelujah! Come on. experienced this God only and only. Don't let me convince you. But only if you believe there's no God. He's greater than Buddha. He's greater than Allah. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Nisi. Jehovah Shammah. How this Jehovah has been to you, and just worship this great God. We are standing on February 1st, 2015. This God has been too good. We adore you, oh God. You are too kind. Some people woke up this morning, but they couldn't get out their bed. Some people maybe took their first step, and then they died from there. But we serve a God that has been the Most High in our lives, in our families. We worship you, oh God. Yahweh.
Yeah. all the things you have done for us. If you do nothing more, you will have done more than enough. But Lord, you are the God of exceedingly and abundantly. So we know in spite of all that you have done, you are willing and ready and able to do more for us. And we just come to say thank you today in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for the beginning of a new month. Thank you for the month of February. Because Lord, this month I know that Lord, you will show us greater things. In, through, and by us, you will do greater works. In the name of Jesus, we appreciate you. Lord, as we look into your word of life this morning, Jehovah, I pray that, Lord, you will speak to our hearts in the name of Jesus. Let your word mix with faith in every heart today, and let your name be. Our destination, destiny, is about a journey. Somebody say a journey. God is taking you and I through a journey. And as you go on a journey, if you're driving on, taking a road trip from here to New York, and you don't ever stop to get gas, the car will stop for you and say, now go get a ride to go get gas and put inside of me. So life is not always, things are not always moving. There are times that you will get to the road light, the traffic light. And sometimes the traffic light might actually turn red and tell you to stop, you know. And sometimes it tells you to slow down. And in the journey of destiny, it is also like that. It is not a continuous thing. Destiny is about becoming. Somebody say becoming. The Bible says we have not yet attained to that person that God has destined or created us to become. So we are going progressively towards something that God has ordained for us. And I pray that you will accomplish and fulfill purpose in this journey called destiny in the mighty name of Jesus. I want us to look at a few examples from Scripture, and then we're going to tie it to our lives. Amen. To show how this thing really, really works. When you look at the story of Joseph, how many of us know Joseph? Joseph in the Bible. Joseph in Genesis chapter 37 is where his story started. In Genesis 37, Joseph was introduced to us as someone very special to his dad. And not only was he special to God, to his dad, he was also very special to God. Because we saw that in Genesis 37, he dreamt a very interesting dream. And the dream that he dreamt did not require an interpreter. It did not require anybody to tell the meaning of the dream to himself and the brothers. As soon as he told the brothers the dream, the Bible says they hated him the more. You know why? Because what the dream was saying was clear, that this guy was going to be great and his brothers were going to bow to him. And they understood that. And the Bible says because of his dream, they hated him. And not only that, he dreamt a second time. Not only did he tell the brothers this time, he also told the dad. And when he told them, the Bible says the dad hushed him. You know, when I read that story, it reminded me of an African parent. You know, because children don't, you know, really have a voice. So adults are talking, you're talking, hush your mouth, you know. The father hushed him, said, what kind of dream is this? Are you saying myself and your mother and your brothers were going to bow to you? I have 12 sons, you are number 11. How can your brothers bow to you so much so that I, your father and your mother, were going to bow to you? Can I tell you something this morning? Where God is taking you is a great place. You say, you have not imagined it. That is why you cannot really see yourself in that place. Joseph really couldn't see himself. He just knew the dream he dreamt. And I want to tell you today that I personally, I have dreams. And I know there are one or two people here, like Joseph and I, that have dreams. How many people have dreams here today? I have it on good authority to say to you that your dream is not dead. Your amen is very executive. It's not catching fire. Your dream is not dead. Yeah. Your dream is alive. Yeah. In the mighty name of Jesus. Yeah. It is good to dream. Many people have dreamt and they have forgotten about their dream. Why? Because the vicissitudes of life, the ups and the downs of life have caused them to change their mind about their dream. But what I want you to know is that with God, God is not haphazard. God is not like man that promises you something today. Say, you know what? I will come tomorrow and I will give you a ride to work. And then in the morning, they give you a call and say, you know what? Something came up. I have to do something else. I cannot come anymore. God is not like that. Many of us, our image of God is the image of the people in our lives that we love and respect that have let us down. That is why a person that grew up in a home where the dad was not really very strong and powerful, or the dad was quite neglectful, you know, when you tell them that God is a father, they really don't have an appreciation for that. They really don't have an appreciation for that. But what I'm saying to you this morning is God is not like any man that you know. God is not man. Hallelujah. In Hosea, God said to them, he said, I am God, I am not man. You know, because they were expecting that God will be vengeful, God will be angry and deal with the people. He said, no, I am God and I'm a merciful God. As long as anybody comes to repentance, I will forgive them. Amen? That's why in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, if you have sinned, if you confess your sin and you repent of them, he says, I, God, I am faithful and I am just to forgive you and cleanse you from all of your unrighteousness. So that is the God that we're talking about. He's not a God of here and there, you know, but that is God. That is God. So the dream of Joseph caused him a lot of problems. His dream caused him a lot of problems. The Bible says, after they had all this dream, one day their father sent Joseph. When you get home, you can read Genesis chapter 37. One day, the father sent Joseph to the field to check on his brothers. And as they saw him coming, the most wicked plot that you can ever imagine. The Bible says, as the brothers saw him coming from afar, they said, here comes the dreamer. Listen close. They said, here comes the dreamer. He said, let us kill him and see what becomes of his dream. Amen? So it was not a personality thing. It was about where God was taking him. You see, the ups and the downs and the challenges that you have faced in life is because of where you're going. It's because of where God is taking you. You know, a lot of people, they ask the question like Job, I've done everything right. Why am I suffering? Why are things not working out for me? Things aren't working out not because you have sinned. They are not working out because it is part of the process. Somebody say process. You have to go through that process for you to get to where God is taking you. Can you imagine that they will come and recruit Joseph in their land to come and be prime minister in Egypt? It can never happen. But God was taking him through a process. The advice and the admonition I have for us is let us live a life that is pleasing to God. Let us honor God with every breath that he has privileged us with. When you do that, you can be sure that come rain, come shine, whatever happens, God will use it for your good. There's a song that says, I can see everything turning around for my good. God will turn it around for your good. In the mighty name of Jesus. It may seem like a losing battle to you, but you will not lose. Oh, you didn't hear that. I said you cannot lose. In the name of Jesus. If you understand what happened to Joseph, which is what we're talking about, you will have an appreciation for this. Listen to this. So they saw him. They said, let us kill him. Let us kill him. And Reuben heard about it. Reuben said, no, please don't let's do that. He prevailed on them. He prevailed. No, let's kill him. He's our brother. You know, how about we sell him for money? Somebody suggested. Can you imagine? Your own blood brother. Your own, at least it's better than killing. Amen? So they sold him. They threw him in the pit, and then they sold him. You see, let me paint the picture for you here. Here's what happened. So some nomadic people were passing by, and they paid money, they bought him. After they bought him, they took him, they went to Egypt, and then they sold him into slavery. They were just businessmen. Listen to this. This is what you may not have known about slave trade. When they want to sell a slave, and don't forget, remember the Joseph we're talking about. This is a guy that the dad is boxed up. I mean, very rich father. The Bible says the father made him coat of many colors. The dad just loved this guy. He was his favorite. Well, everybody knew that he was his favorite. The Bible actually tells us in Genesis 37 that Jacob loved Joseph more than all of his sons. Clearly, everybody knew it. He was spoiled. He's now a slave. He's now a piece of property. It's a piece of commodity. So they took him to the slave market. And here's what they do at the slave market. When you want to sell, you know, they will strip them naked. You know, and then they will tell the commodity to turn around. You know, so they can see that, okay, this one still has traction. It can still go some 10 years, you know. And that's what happened to him. So they took him to the market. They stripped him, 17-year-old. He was not a small boy that didn't know what was happening. 17-year-old. So they stripped him. And they auctioned him. And, you know, at the slave market, here's what they do. So someone says, $5. Then another one says, $5 and a nickel. And then another one says, okay, $5 and a dime. Can you imagine standing there and they are naming your price? $5 and a nickel. $5 and a dime. Okay, I put a cent to the dime. And they continue negotiating until Potiphar won. And as if his story was, you know the rest of the story. You know the story of Joseph. Amen. But what the picture I'm painting to you this morning is to let you know that if you are walking in line with the will of God for your life, where you are is not a disaster. Where you are is a part of your journey. It's a part of your journey. It's a part of your journey. He got into Potiphar's house. God gave him so much favor. This guy was not bitter. If that was you, you'd be an angry person. Oh, I take that back. If that was me, I would be angry. In fact, the one that bought me would know that he bought the wrong slave. He would know he bought the wrong slave. I will have such an attitude that I will say, "This is, even though he looks like he can walk, this one is not a good slave." I'm telling you the honest truth. But this guy was very focused. He knew that even though I hit the bottom, God has a plan for my life. Even though you have hit the bottom, do you know God has a plan for your life? Do you know many people today, when they hit the bottom, is when they begin to compromise. They begin to live recklessly. They say, "I've done this Christian thing, it doesn't work." When Potiphar's wife offered herself to Joseph, you know what he said? He said, "How can I do this evil against God?" What some people will have asked is, "Where was God when I was sold into slavery?" He said, "This is my promotion time now. My situation has been elevated. Now, am I not just living in the house of the master and the head of the slaves? I'm also enjoying fringe benefits along with it, with the boss's wife." Can you imagine? But this guy was still very focused. His objective in life is not a destination or achieving a position. His objective in life was pleasing God. And he understood that I am going through a process. I know what God showed me. Have you seen anything at all about what you are going to become? If you have not seen it, you can read the Bible. The Bible says it very clearly. What we will become. Friends, this guy was very focused. He did not allow his present situation to cause him to derail. May you not derail. Amen. Friends, the Bible says that this present affliction is light and is for a moment. Wherever you are in the journey of life, understand. I know it's hard. I know it's hard. And I heard a pastor talk about this. He said it is difficult when somebody is going through a very difficult, trying situation, you tell them it's momentary and it's light. They will look at you and say, get out of my house. If you don't have anything to say, it's either you shut your mouth or you leave my house. You say, oh, don't worry, this affliction is light. This is nothing. In fact, I know somebody that had a worse situation. Please, when you go to console somebody, don't tell them you have seen worse than this. Except it happened to you. You can tell them your story. Don't say, ah, this is nothing. In fact, I saw a woman lost her husband and three sons in one day. Is that what this person needs to hear that just lost the child? He said, oh, no, don't, this is just light. Don't, please don't say that, because it's not. It's not. Until it happens to you, you will never know how it feels. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. But Joseph understood that this is nothing. I know what God has shown me. I know where God is taking me. I may be in the bottom rung right now, but God is taking me somewhere great. Oh, God is taking me somewhere great. Because I understand my destiny is that I am becoming something that God ordained for me to be. And I will make it. I will be there. I will be that person. You will be that person. In the mighty name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. The Bible tells us that for the joy that was set before Jesus, he endured the cross. Hebrews 12:2. He endured the cross. He took it all in. How do I know that I'm a child of destiny? Friends, when you look at your life, I believe it was Dr. Bode that told us some time ago how many times the enemy has tried to kill him. You know what? You have your own stories to tell. I have my own stories to tell. I've been this close to death. There was what they call religious crisis in the northern part of Nigeria where I lived at the time. You know, it was for them a crime for you to be a Christian. You know, and there was a riot. It was a pandemonium. You know, people were going helter-skelter. And for some odd reason, they singled me out of the crowd. And a mob was chasing after me with cutlass. Machete. They were chasing after me with machete and dagger. And I'm running. I was not this cute at the time. I was obese. You know, so I was running like with my big fat belly. I was like 8 months pregnant. I was running. I don't know how where I got the speed from, but I outran them. That's the important. If I did not, you would not have seen me today. You know why? Because God has a purpose for my life. If the enemy could take you out, he would have taken you out by now. If the enemy could kill you, trust me, by now you are dead. So that you are alive and you are hearing what I am saying today, it is a pointer to the fact that you are a child of destiny. Oh, God has a plan and a program for your life that is totally unbelievable. The Bible, listen to this. What I'm saying is adversity in your life can be a pointer to the fact that God is taking you somewhere great. You know, the Bible says Leah was just on her own. Jacob came looking for a wife, said, I want to marry Rachel. The father said, okay, work for me 7 years. I will give you Rachel. So he worked for him 7 years. Instead of giving him Rachel, he gave him Leah. Gave him Leah. Leah did not beg to marry Jacob. You know, the Bible says because she has dull eyes. Okay, that's a nice way of saying that she didn't look good. She didn't look cute. You know, in today's English, you say she's ugly. Yeah, that's what it means. She has dull. It means. There's a word for it in some language that you may not understand. But anyway, she was not cute. Okay, that's the bottom line. She was not cute. You know, so they gave her to this guy. And instead of this guy staying with her, he decides to work another 7 years for the love of his life. She couldn't bear him a child. The love of his life could not bear him a child. But the Bible says something. Genesis 29. Genesis 29, I believe, verse 31. Genesis 29, verse 31. It says, because Leah was hated. When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb. But Rachel was barren. Listen to me. Because of what you are going through, God will favor you. Because of the discrimination and the aggregation that they have made against you, the conniving and everything they are doing against you, that is the reason that God will lift you up for promotion. They connived against Joseph. It propelled him to the palace. They connived against Leah. The Lord opened her womb. Because you have suffered and you have suffered long enough, the Lord will open your womb. Your womb of breakthrough. Your womb of healing. Your womb of fruitfulness. In the mighty name of Jesus. I got to run now. I'm almost out of time. Listen to this. When Moses was born, when Moses was born, death was waiting for him. Because in Exodus chapter 1, the Bible tells us that a Pharaoh came that did not recognize Joseph. He disregarded Joseph. And he looked at the Jews. He said, these Hebrews, the way they have children, very soon they will be more than us. And they want to join with our enemy to take over our land. So he gave his story. He said, everyone that has a son, kill the son. That was the circumstances under which Moses was born. Moses was born into that era that they were killing all the boys. And I have news for us. Moses was a boy. He was supposed to be killed. Some of us at the time we were born was when there was a cholera outbreak. But you survived it. Some of us when we were born was when they had smallpox outbreak. But you survived it. Some of us when we were born was when they had measles. But you survived it. God is saying to you, I have a plan for your life. Don't live like there is no program for you on this earth, because there is a program for you. Amen? Many of us, we have settled to whatever is available. We have settled to our environment. We have just relaxed. Moses, when he grew up and he was going to deliver the children of Israel, the Bible says, after he killed that man and he ran into exile, and he was dwelling in Jethro's house, the Bible says he was content. He was happy to live with Jethro. He had forgotten about the dream and the vision of God for his life. He was content to live with Jethro. May I say to you that many of us today, we have forgotten about the program of God for our lives. We are content to work 8 to 5. As long as I make $20, $50 an hour, life is good. Life is good. Somebody say, if I make $50 an hour, I'll be happy. I don't even make $50 an hour. And then you are content. You have settled. May the Lord deliver you. Amen. I say, may the Lord deliver his church. In the mighty name of Jesus. One day God appeared to Moses in the bush, burning bush, and the bush was not consumed. He said, Moses, I have a better plan for you than herding sheep and whatever nonsense you think you're doing. He was happy just taking the sheep to graze and eat, and the sheep were multiplying. And bah, 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 bah. He was happy with bah, 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 bah. God said, no, I have greater and I have better for you. My plans for you exceed all this bear, bear, blah, blah, blah sheep. I have greater and better plans for you. And God called him out of that. Until today. In fact, listen to this. God had to have a private funeral for Moses so that they would not venerate his tomb. It became that powerful. The plans and the purposes of God for you. You are greater than the pew. Somebody say, I'm greater than the pew. Oh, believe me. There are people under the sound of my voice today. God has called you to the nations. Oh, believe me. Believe me. If anybody ever told me that I would stand and be preaching, I would say, forget it. Because I'm the type that I just like to, like many people have said it to me, I just laugh when they say, oh no, Pastor, I just like to be in the background and I like to help. That was what I like to do too. That was what I like to do until the Lord called. And I'm grateful to God for how he's been able to allow us to impact many in the nations of the world. Brethren, the news I have for you today is that the plans of God for your life, they are great. I'm very, very great in the name of Jesus. As I begin to round up, listen to this. I'm going to ask us two questions. I'm going to rush through the rest of it now. Two questions. Number one question. Will you fulfill destiny in your lifetime? Answer. I pray that your answer will be yes. But do you know that you may choose not to? The Bible says in Numbers chapter 14, Moses sent 12 spies to go spy the promised land, which God promised. Listen to this. Anything God has promised, it will come to pass. Oh, God will fulfill his word. Oh, no. God will fulfill his word. There is no what if not about it. Everything he has said, he will fulfill it. God promised them a promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. When they went to spy the land, 10 spies came back and said, oh, there are giants in that land. We cannot take the land. The people believed them. And everybody started murmuring against Moses. Oh, no, there are giants. Oh, they will kill us. Ah, we are like grasshoppers. Oh, no, no, we will die. I said, that's okay. Numbers 14, 28. He said, as you have said in my ears, so will I do unto you. You say you can't do it, you will not do it. But guess what? God still brought the promise to pass. The promised land, he gave it to them. But those people that said they couldn't take it, they died. Their lives wasted in the wilderness, and then God handed it to their children. So what am I saying? Mind your language. Hello? Hello? Mind your language. If it is too much for your mind to comprehend, just be quiet. Say, I take the faith. I take the faith. Pastor, what you are saying is wonderful. I love to believe it. But I take the faith. Just don't say anything. Because once you say it, it is done. Once you say it, it is. Daniel chapter 10 verse 12. Listen. Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12 quickly. Daniel 10, 12. The angel of the Lord came to Daniel and said, I am come for thy words. You see that? He said, then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy words. So when I am saying it's impossible, I can't do it, the angel is hearing it and is taking it to God. When the prophecy comes to you, I say, wow. My name is XYZ. Because that's not me. He said, oh, my name is XYZ. Maybe you are speaking to the wrong person. No, the word is for you. Amen? The least you can say is, let it be so unto me in Jesus' name. Why? Because the angel of the Lord is listening for your words. Is listening to what you're saying. And is taking it back to the throne of God. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 6. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. And verse 6. Hallelujah. Listen to this. Listen to this. It says, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Amen. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Don't say, oh, it's a mistake. I really didn't mean that. Oh, you said it, you mean it. Amen. Watch your language. Watch your language. So that everything that God has said will come to reality in your lifetime. In the mighty name of Jesus. Where are you in your destiny journey? Where are you? If we use the life of Joseph as an example, are you in the pit? Or are you in Potiphar's house? Or are you in prison? Either way, listen to this. Either way, Joseph was on course. Joseph was on course. You know, some people will look at you and say, all of these years, I thought your life would be better than this by now. Say, thank you very much. God is working something out in my life. Listen to this. If there's one word I want you to take home today, is the word becoming. Somebody say becoming. 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 Because it means I'm still going through the meal. I am becoming that thing that God has said I will be. I may not be it yet, but it is a journey. I am what? I am becoming. I am becoming. I am becoming. So whether it is up in the mountain or down in the valley, I am what? I am becoming. I'll tell you a quick story. The first time Pastor Gloria, Louis Gloria, some of us know him. The first time he went with me to Nigeria, you know, we saw some interesting things that I was ashamed of. But by the time he started speaking, I'm like, whoa, I never saw it like that. You see, life is all about perspective. Amen. Your training, your education, the knowledge you have can determine what your perspective will be on different things. You see what I'm saying? So we went to Nigeria and we saw these huge piles and piles and piles of scrap metal. You know, for me, as I was looking at it, it was trash. For him, you know what he was telling me? He said, wow, Pastor Koye. He said, if it was possible to pack all of these things, take it to America. He said, this is money. This is money. Guess what? I saw trash, something I was not proud of. He was in awe because he saw money. Listen to this. If a sculptor, for example, a sculptor see a nice log of wood, if you like camping and you saw the same log of wood, guess what? You would think this will make good bonfire. You know, or at best, some nice barbecue. You know, let's cut the wood and make bonfire. But if a sculptor sees that log, a sculptor can look at it and say, I can make something out of this. And he takes his chisel and his hammer, and he begins to hammer on it. He begins to hammer on it. You're like, you're wasting your time. Let's just make bonfire. This is wood. This is fire. He keeps hammering on it. He keeps hammering on it. In a short while, suddenly, you see the face of a lion. But you didn't see that in the wood. Why? The wood is becoming. The wood is becoming a lion. So he keeps hammering on it. Keeps hammering. Keeps hammering. As he's hammering, you see the head. You see everything. It's going down the body now. And then all of a sudden, there's a crack inside the log of wood that he was not aware of because it's not on the outside. He deals another blow on the chisel, and the wood breaks in two. Right across the face of the lion. Say, okay, this is destroyed. But, you know, it's okay. I'm a professional. I can still make something good out of this. Maybe instead of a huge lion, let's just make a little puny cat out of this. So he begins to chisel again. He begins to chisel again. Then we see the cat forming. We can see the cat forming. And then, yes, there's another crack in the thing. And then it falls apart again. Say, well, all the pieces are too small. We can't make anything out of it. Let's just throw it into the fire. Your life and my life is like that log of wood. The crack inside is sin. The crack inside that wood is sin. The sculptor is the Almighty God himself. He has created you. He has something great in mind. He wanted to make a lion out of that wood. But because of sin, he said, okay, let's scale it down. Let's make a cat until sin completely destroys that individual and is now thrown into the fire. Hell. Will you rise this morning? Will you rise this morning? What sin is in your life that will hinder your journey in destiny? What thing, what is it you are holding on to? For me, many years ago, it was a girlfriend. And until I let go of that girlfriend that I was committing sin with, I could not make progress in my walk with God. I don't know what it is for you this morning, but friends, I got to tell you this. You must let go of sin. Please bow your heads. Whatever it is that is a challenge for you, today is the day to decide and say, Lord, I want your plan to be made manifest. Let the lion in me, let the king in me. Micah 4:9 says, is there no king in you? Let the king in me begin to come forth. Let the lion in me begin to come forth. In the name of Jesus. Oh, talk to the Lord, talk to the Lord, talk to the Lord, talk to the Lord. In the name of Jesus. That the Lord will cleanse you and purge you. In the mighty name of Jesus. I believe there are at least two people this morning. The Lord wants me to pray with you. I want you to come forward very quickly. I only have about a minute or two left. If you don't come now, I'm going to hand over the microphone and that will be between you and God. You want to make up some. You know that there is greater. There is greater. There is greater. There is greater. Whatever it is that is holding you back, I loose the hold of it on you today. In the mighty name of, please come quickly. Come quickly. Come quickly. Our time is fast spent. You say, yeah, I suspect that there is a lion inside of me. Inside of me, there is a lion that God can complete that process, that God can build that thing, that God can bring that sculpture out of you in the name of Jesus. Please join your hands together. Join your hands together. Le prakusa tandaria radabo je bakara baki kara bagande regede he karadabo chandelia ragada. Receive the grace, the anointing, to do better, the anointing to do greater. In the name of Jesus, loose the ear, bahia, gandoro robo shantalia. Hey, gara bo shagada. Please make sure you join your hands with the rest of the people. Le pradika radaba. You can go to the other end. Makari bakasontolia. Ha ye bro shantalia. Ye kora bahia. Receive grace. In the name of Jesus, receive mercy, the pardon of God, even to move forward, even to go forward, to accomplish, to do greater, to do better. In the name of Jesus, le pradika rada bakosoto, yenderebo shandali aragada, a release, manderebo shakata, ye pradi bagaragada, e progorogodogodo, mari bakasontolia. In the name of Jesus, receive it, receive it, receive it, receive it. In the name of Jesus, a release. I loose you. I loose you. I loose you from every power that is holding you back and holding you down. In the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood, the blood, in the name of Jesus. Le prodo shagada, je bago shagada, ye bradi bagundaria. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Lord, let it come out now. Let it come out now. Let it come out. Let it come out. Let it come out. The best of you. I release, I release, I release. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Jehovah, we give you praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I have delivered your word as you have given it unto me. Lord, I pray that your word will prosper in the lives of your people in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, may your word mix with faith in the hearts of your children in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, take them up higher, higher, beyond every one of their imagination. In the mighty name of Jesus, may the Lord lift you up. May the Lord set you up. May the Lord establish you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you praise and we give you glory. Be thou exalted forever and ever. In Jesus' mighty name, I have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's put our hands together for them as they go back to their seat.